Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. And I'm not sure if you caught the live stream of our next guest spending the travel hour with us. And that is Luis Fuerte. And he is the longtime cameraman of Huell Hauser, has a career of his own with 5 Emmys. We're going to talk about all sorts of things, including how he met Huell. We're going to talk about his book. Luis, take a look at this. And we're going to find out about the man himself in this hour of the show. So we did have a little bit of Facebook feed going on, and I'll see if I can grab that later on and switch it on over to Traveling with Françoise. Okay, the first hour of the show, of course, is a local event show, and now we are shifting into travel gear. So I want to congratulate our winner on the first show, Barbara, who won some tickets to see Oklahoma at the Palm Canyon Theater. And we will be giving away an autographed copy of the book. I have more, but you know how I don't like to break up interviews with prize giving because Luis drove quite a ways to get here today to spend this hour with us. So if we don't give the books away today, autographed copies, I'll make sure we have one on the website. We'll do so next week. So don't worry about that. We have them and we will do that. All right. I want to make sure everyone knows that there is a free Travel Club of the Desert meeting this week on Wednesday for adult customized tours. And that is over at My mind's a little blank right now. It's Palm Desert Resort on Highway 111. It's been there for a long, long time. It's a free meeting. Go on over there. I'll be over there. It's from 1 to 3, and we have a lot of stuff going on with the help of adult customized tours. And I also want to let everyone know that it is official. I'm going to be your host on the May 4th through 7th Mount Rushmore trip. Leaves from Palm Springs, I'm going to be hosting you because of adult customized tours. They've let me take you guys on a trip, so that's going to be a lot of fun. If you haven't signed up yet, you might want to do so. And then we're going to be covering a lot of places, including Mount Rushmore. I can't wait to see that. I always wanted to see it. So for more information, you can call Adult Customized Tours at 760-322-1247 and go to their website, act-tours.com. So that's going to be a ton of fun. So lots of information, lots of things going on today's show. And of course, we have Sean in the boardroom doing something. What are you doing in there, Sean?
Pressing buttons.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. So let's just jump right in with our guests. Luis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
Well, it's fun. You have been... First of all, we've talked on the phone a few times, and you said this whole book signing and book adventure has been just that, quite an adventure. So even though I want to talk a little bit about everything, what made you decide to write a book? Louis, take a look at this, My Time with Huell Hauser. I mean, that's a big undertaking, and a lot goes along with it. Where did you come to the decisions, those crossroads, to do that?
Actually, when they honored Huell with the doctorate, they asked me to receive it for him after he had passed away. And they were quite surprised how many people at Chapman University wanted to know who this Louis guy was. And they came after me afterwards and talked to me and said, you need to write about a book about your adventures, because it was just the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the stories that happened behind the scenes. And yeah, there's little quirky stories that happen, and they're in the book.
They're in the book. And when did you write the book? When did the book come out? Is it recently? Was it this year or last year?
It came out April of last year.
Okay.
And I think since the book's been out, I've had about close to 60 events.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So it's gotten me into public speaking, which was my biggest fear in life. And whoever thought it'd come to this?
Exactly. Because you were the man behind the scenes. You were the cameraman,
right.
the fellow. Because you and I haven't even talked about this, but I have a TV show that I produce on Fox 11 called Traveling with Françoise.
Right.
And it's been my second year of doing this. And it's just me and my cameraman. And so often, and it's such a huge, huge compliment, after we're done, people say, you know, Françoise, you're kind of a female Huell Hauser, which is a huge compliment, because
yes,
it's just the two of us. And so many things happen, and there's so much work involved
right
behind the scenes. So let's go back in time, though. Let's talk a little bit about you. Where did the roads take you to becoming a cameraman? How did that all start?
Well, after high school, I went into the Navy. I was a reservist and active duty, and I was a radarman, and my home port was Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, so I tell everyone, and someone had to protect the hula girls.
Yeah.
And after active duty, I realized I had to go to college, so I decided to go into engineering. And one day at the campus, I ran into a friend of mine from high school, and she happened to work at the TV station. And we talked, and she offered to give me a tour of the station. Of course, I had never been in a TV station. So we did, and I saw the tape machines, the mixers, all the TV equipment, and I went and stood behind a camera, and I don't know what bolt of lightning hit me. I knew that was what I wanted to do.
So you were not a photographer. You weren't one of the kind of guys that took a camera everywhere with you and had to take a picture of everything.
No, never took a camera with me. And I was in the arts. I was a musician. I played the trumpet and French horn. So I love the arts. But to carry a camera around, never did.
So you went from standing there looking at a camera. How did you make your way? Because how long have you been working in the television genre with the camera?
I was in TV for close to 40 years.
40 years.
40 years. So, and, of course, I started when cameras were black and white.
Yeah.
And they had the turret lens on it. So, it was analog. And it was so neat. I mean,
I'm sure you had to go to school to learn how to use a camera, or was it the school of hard knocks? You just got the job and started doing it.
Oh, no. I switched my major from engineering to telecommunications engineering there at the Valley College, and they had KBCR. So then it was just a group of us students who would take classes in engineering, TV engineering, and then do studio work and things like that.
So you were primarily the cameraman in the studio behind the camera, or were you out on the field?
We were both. We did both. We would move around in different engineering positions, and then we had a old remote truck. It was a converted milk truck that we converted into a remote truck. And we working on a project called Project Notify, which sometimes we would be the actors, sometimes we'd be the TDs, sometimes it'd be the cameraman. So we'd move around in different positions, and it was a lot of fun. I really loved those days. And, of course, the first year you had to start in radio, but I knew TV was what I loved to do.
What you loved, and to be behind the scenes, not in front of the scenes, not talking to people.
I never wanted to be in front of the camera, and it's something that, and I think that's why Hill and I work so well together, because I wanted to be behind the scenes, and Hill loved being in front of the camera, talking to people, and he loved it.
How long was Hill on the air? Do you recall?
Well, he started out on the air, I think, at 2000, around 2000, no, 19, it'll come to me, 90, around 90. And then I worked with him until around 2000 and 2001.
Okay. Were you his first cameraman?
I was his first cameraman.
Oh, you were the first cameraman. Okay, we're going to talk about that, too, because I'm terrible with numbers, so I don't ask me to add on what year and what was not. So I didn't want to have to figure all that out. Interesting. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we have so much more to talk about. Luis, we're going to talk about how you and Huel met. We're going to talk about your experiences that led up to following him around with that camera, because when we look at I look at a lot of the episodes, and you never know which direction Hill was going in. And for a cameraman, that can be really difficult. All right, folks, stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Well, Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the studio today, drove all the way in from up in the Los Angeles area, is Luis Fuerte. He is Hugh Hauser's cameraman for 12 years. He has a book out now. Louis, take a look at this, My Time with Hugh Hauser. And we certainly welcome you to the show, Luis. It's great
you.
To have you
Thanks.
Here.
Thank
all
you.
Right. We were talking about your time behind the camera and, of course, how all this, the book, has thrown you into the public eye where that really wasn't your thing. I am curious, how did you come about working for Hugh Hauser? How did that, because that's a little bit different than working at a television station.
Right. I met Hugh in the commissary at KCET, and I was having lunch, and I hear this real southern twangy voice, and I look up, and sure enough, I recognize Hugh. I had seen him on Channel 2 on doing his little short pieces. I went up and introduced myself, and we talked for a little bit and wished him luck. And I said, hopefully someday we'll get a chance to work together. And about a week later, lo and behold, I look at my schedule, and I'm assigned to shoot with Hugh.
Oh, really?
Right.
See, that's – huh. So he had not really started – his California Gold at that point.
No, he came in to shoot the KCET would do these interstitials called video logs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like station fillers. Mm-hmm. They were 3-4 minutes long. And they call them video logs. And so a week later, I looked at my schedule. I'm assigned to shoot with Hugh. And he came in the day before and says, we're going to be shooting a story about an elephant man. And I said, oh, my God, how big is this guy? And he says, no, it's a guy that trained elephants in the circus. And after he retired, he gave the elephant to the San Diego Zoo and hasn't seen the elephant in over 15 years. So we're going to go down there and see if the elephant will remember him. And we did, and it was a very touching story. And Hugh, before we started, I was assigned to shoot with him. And Hugh came to me and says, Louis, just remember, we're not shooting brain surgery here. And so it kind of told me the style of shooting that he wanted. Keep it simple, mm-hmm. you know, just keep things moving. And so we started shooting, and it was a very touching story. At the end of the interview, Hugh says, do you think this elephant is going to remember you after all these years? And Charlie Frank says, well, let's find out. And it goes up to the fence and calls the elephant. His name was Nita. And then the elephant comes up and puts his trunk around him like, where the heck have you been?
Oh, yeah.
And so the style of the way we shot the story in it was very cost-effective as far as editing was very easy to edit. It mm-hmm. was he'd go in and knock it out in a couple of hours.
Oh, and he edited his own shows?
No, he would go in with an editor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
With an editor and put the show together. The station liked that mm-hmm. because he was very cost-effective. He did it real fast, not take after take after take like mm-hmm. some producers would
yeah.
do. And the station liked that, so they brought him in to do more stories. And then one day I happened to be shooting with him, and he came up with the idea about California Gold.
Ah. Well, wasn't Hugh actually a reporter of some kind before on the news, a regular reporter for the news?
He would do these little short tidbits for CBS, and then mm-hmm. he did work in New York. He worked for the station back there, and in college he was like a reporter for the paper and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So he was into reporting.
I was into reporting because that's what I thought I read somewhere. Now, and a lot of people I know out there, you're thinking there really has to be quite a nice camaraderie between the cameraman and the person and your subject, because it's your job, Luis, to make Hugh look good.
Right. Yeah, that was my job.
It's your job to make him look good. However, you're not the producer of the show either. So there's a fine line there of where you say, let's do it again or let's not do it again. Did you contribute that part, or did Huell pretty much take control and say, I want to do that again, I want to do that segment over, I didn't like it? Or did he say, Louie, which is what he called you, what do you think? Was that a good shoot, or how did that partnership work between you?
Well, we had this relationship where I could give him advice as to, okay, I could see something was not working technically, or and I could stop him and tell him what was wrong, and we'd pick it up from a different angle, and he'd listen to what he was saying. And he said, okay, I think that relationship started before we even started shooting California Gold, because when he hired me to be the cameraman, before we started shooting, his secretary called me and says, Louie, I don't know how to tell you this, but Huell wants you to come pick up the car and take it in to have it serviced. And I said, what? And I said, give me Huell's phone number. I called Huell. I said, Huell, what's this? You want me to take your car in to have it serviced? And he says, well, we're going to be traveling all over California. We're going to be doing this and that. And I said, Huell, I'm the cameraman, the sound guy, the lighting guy. That's all I do. And so we had to set those boundaries,
yeah,
which we did right off the start. I didn't want to be in front of the camera, mm-hmm, and I didn't want him behind the camera.
Right.
So we set those boundaries and this working relationship where we could give each other advice. And that's basically my job, was just to make him look good, make the show work for the editor and stuff like that, and tell the story.
It doesn't seem to me, I know there's a lot of research involved, but I kind of have the feeling that Huell was not a scripted type person, that neither of you were. I mean, you basically had in mind what you were going to be shooting when you went somewhere. But then I think that a lot of it was just you two winging it, whatever came off the cuff.
Correct. Yeah, we didn't know too much about the story as far as it wasn't scripted. The producers would set up the people we were going to talk to, interview. Mm-hmm. And Huell didn't want to know very much about it. And the only thing I wanted to know, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold?
What to wear.
What to wear. So that's where Huell, in his interviews, would come up with, oh, my God, that's amazing. He mm-hmm. just wanted to find out about the story right there at that moment.
And, just like his audience.
Right. Just like his audience. And he was like, he had this thing about him that he could just make people feel at ease, mm-hmm, comfortable, and they would just pour out their story.
And that's such a good way to do it, because I think when you do things that way, we as the host are just as surprised as we know our viewers are going to be when you hear something.
Yes.
And when you go in knowing everything before, if you study that hard, nothing surprises a person anymore. You don't think of those crazy questions that you would think to ask.
Right.
Now, Steve actually Canold sent me this with Adult Customized Tours, because he always likes to send me some things. And it made me think of, actually, Huell is talking about pilots with accents and who the passengers trust. Now, I have to ask you, this accent that Huell had, was that the real deal? Or is it something he kind of amped up for TV?
It was the real deal. That's the way he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we shot a story on the Mississippi River and his accent quadrupled. It really got heavy to the point where I couldn't understand what he was saying sometimes.
Yeah.
But, no, that was his just normal accent.
That was normal. Yes. And he has that bigger-than-life personality, because it says here that people really are attracted more to that. They feel more comfort with a Southern accent like that as they do a New York accent or whatever. People like that. There's that drawl, that little bit of drawl in there. That Midwestern accent makes them feel definitely a lot more comfortable. Are you a California native?
I was born here in San Bernardino.
Oh, you are native.
Yeah,
okay.
My parents from Mexico.
Yeah.
But I was born here.
Okay,
and
all right.
I do speak Spanish, and I work for a lot of producers who are traveling in South America, Mexico, all these places. So, I work for so many
years. And would it be a video journalist? Is that what they would call you now in today's world?
Well, I was called a videographer and a cameraman, and I don't know what to
do. You know what else? It's so interesting. Now, I want to, of course, talk about the book. We're going to have to take a break here in just a minute, so I'm trying to time this out so we can step aside for a moment, and when we come back, we can talk about some of your stories, what you recall working with Huell, things that stand out to you that you really like to share with people, and you know, it'll be interesting to our audience to hear, because we only see the television side of a person. Of course, he did love to come to Palm Springs all the time, but it was interesting because I talked to Huell several times and said, "Can you please come and be on the show?" And he would say, "No, Francoise, I can't, because if I'm on your show, then I have to be on everybody else's show in the Valley." So he kept saying, no, but he was so kind. He said, "But I want you to know, I listen to your show all the time, and you've given me some great ideas and reminded me of places in the past that I visited that I need to revisit again." So he really was a very kind, at least to me, very respectful, very kind, fun to talk to, and I'm sure quite an adventure when you were out filming with him. And we're going to touch base on that when we come back. So on that note, folks, we're going to step aside for just a moment. When we come back, we have Luis Fuerte in the show on the show with us. He is Huell Hauser's longtime cameraman for 12 years, and now he has a book out. Luis, take a look at this, My Time with Huell Hauser, which I'm sure is on Amazon. It's on Amazon, yes, right here. And I have a copy. I'll take a picture. I have a picture of Luis and whatnot. So anyway, stick around for local and national news. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Thanks so much for joining us today. And joining us in studio is Luis Fuerte. Again, he is Huell Hauser's longtime cameraman, the man behind that made sure that everything went according to plan as much as he could to rein Huell Hauser in to get that show on the air, California's Gold. And of course, as we were talking, Luis, that you had met Huell and was doing small vignettes at first, and then it transferred over into California's Gold. Now, everyone is going to, they're going to say, Francoise, you got to ask this. So let's talk about some filming stories. Were there any times that you and Huell just said, I mean, we're just button heads saying, this isn't going to work?
Well, we did shoot a story down by the Mexican border, and we were interviewing a border agent, and there's a line that separates Mexico from the United States, and as you know, he'll love to repeat himself a lot. And so he tells the agent, so on this, we're standing in the United States. And the agent says, yes, you're in the United States. And Luis in the United States. Yes, he's in the United States. But that's Mexico over there. He says, yes, that's Mexico. But we're in the United States. Says, yes, you're in the United States. And then he crosses the border. The agent says, oh, my God, you just crossed the border illegally. And so then he says, well, I'm in Mexico now. He says, yeah, you're in Mexico illegally. And Luis in the United States. He says, yes, Luis in the United States. So then he wants to come back across, and the agent says, I need to see your passport. And so he says, that's okay, Louis will vouch for me. And the agent turns to me and says, Louis, will you vouch for Huell? I said, well, depends how much money he's got. And so little things like that would happen. But Huell just had this knack for telling his stories and making it a lot of fun.
Was he the type that would just say, I didn't like that take, whether you liked it or not, and say, we need to reshoot this? Did he do that a lot, or did he leave that up to you?
He sometimes would say, it's not working the way I think it's going, or it's, and we would stop, and I would make suggestions as to, okay, let's pick it up from this point, or sometimes I would have to stop him and say, this is not working, or they're walking ahead of me and they're getting out of range, mm-hmm. and it's not looking good on camera. So I could stop him and tell him, and let's pick it up from this angle, and And he would listen to what he was saying. Oh, he said, okay, I'll pick it up from there.
Okay, because I've noticed watching some of the past shows, Huell did like to walk away from you a lot with his guest.
Right,
And I thought, what a challenge for you, because he'd all of a sudden just turn and walk off.
Right. I kind of always kept my left eye open, one eye on the viewfinder, and to see what he was going to do. And sometimes he'd catch me off guard and go in the wrong direction where I thought he was going to go right. Mm-hmm. And it would just, I'd have to stop him. And says, you misled me. Yeah. You fooled me. And but it was not a problem. It was never a problem. We could make things work. And at times it was great because then it would look like a two-camera shoot.
Right.
And pick it up from a different angle and things like that.
How long did it take you, Luis, to film one episode of California's Gold?
It would vary on the location, the story, and some shows we could shoot in maybe 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And get it done. Other shows, because we had to go to different locations, they might take 2 or 3 days to shoot. But we weren't like working 8 to 10 hours a day. If the shoot required 2 hours of shooting, that's what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were done. And then I go back to clean my gear and getting everything ready for the next day. So.
And you were, I know you mentioned lighting, and it doesn't seem like you had the opportunity or the time to set up an interview spot with lighting and all that. It just seems like it was you, a camera, and Huell and his microphone.
Right, and but I understand lighting, so there'd be times, and if you watch some of the shows, you'll notice that Huell's looking off the corner of his eye, and he's watching me because I'm maybe moving a little bit very slowly to adjust for lighting, or maybe the background will enhance the story that he's talking about. So he would always kind of look off to the corner of his eye and watch what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. And how was the reception that you two received when you went to places? I'm sure overall everybody knew who Huell Howser, because, I mean,
absolutely.
Just seems everyone knows who Huell Howser today still is.
Right. Right. No, everybody, as soon as they see Huell walk in, they, oh, Huell, you know, and he loved it.
Yeah.
He loved it, where I'd go off to a corner and, but he just loved being around people.
Mm-hmm. So he was the type that enjoyed when he gave all these, because it does seem like he really did enjoy all the interviews when he was talking to people. And people are nervous, and that's... that's a real gift to be able to make people comfortable that
right.
are nervous when you put a camera. You put that big old camera you're holding in front of them, and they have a microphone, and that changed the whole dynamic.
All right. He had this knack for making people at ease and just comfortable. His questioning was very simple, down to earth. Mm-hmm. And people felt really at ease, and they loved telling their story, and it was just in... that's what he was good at.
How about laughs? Did you two have a lot of laughs?
We laughed at some things that would happen, and it's just we just kind of shine it off. Once we were done working, he'd go his way and I'd go my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to get my gear ready for the next day. I'd maybe have a beer or something, and just get some dinner, and 9 o'clock, I was in bed.
Yeah.
And Huell liked to go out and sometimes mingle with the people we had interviewed and go out and have a good time.
Was there any show that you remember that just went wrong from start to finish?
Well, we did a show. In fact, it was down by, I think, El Centro. And the people we were going to interview didn't show up. So he says, looks at me and says, what do you think? What do we do now? I said, well, let's go to a bar, have a beer. And bartenders always have stories.
Yeah.
So, we came out with a story. And I don't even recall what the story was about. But, we've had situations where things just didn't work out.
Didn't work out. Now, I was lucky enough to ride in a Blue Angel jet as a media person, and I think I saw here that Hugh Hauser rode in a Blue Angel jet.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes.
Yeah, and you couldn't go along. No, you could only shoot the groundwork, but... Did they have GoPros then? How did they film Huel inside the jet?
I wish I would have had some of the toys they have today, the GoPros, the flying little cameras and all that. But the jet has a camera within its cockpit there. And so, but he actually... Because he was Marine,
uh-huh,
and Blue Angels are his Navy.
Yeah.
He said, please go easy on me. Yeah. And when they took off, and the pilot just went straight up.
The vertical.
Vertical thing, and I think he got sick.
Yeah. That's what they did with me. He said, if we don't do it, you're gonna miss out. He goes, I really recommend it. And when you're in the jet, you think, well, what the heck? I'm in the jet. I might as well do it.
Right.
But that really just slams you back. And right away, you're going, oh, jeez. So I could, I bet you wish you would have had a microphone. Could you hear his audio when you were watching the movie? Oh, you couldn't hear what he had to say.
Couldn't hear anything.
And you were sitting on the ground. Were you laughing when they were watching him up there doing all
this
stuff?
When I saw him go up, oh, my God, he's going to be sick. And it's just... he took off and was an adventure for him.
Name one of the most craziest places that you guys filmed that, where you got there and it was just, I don't know whether it was the terrain or the building itself or what was one of the places that you both were kind of going, oh, really? This is where we're doing the show?
That's a good one. We did some real crazy shoots, and one I recall was on Broadway, Los Angeles, on a Saturday. It's wall-to-wall people. And we had just finished shooting a show on the theaters that were on Broadway in Los Angeles. And he wants to do a walking interview, and he says, I'll only go maybe half a block. And so... The way I shoot, I like to see the people's faces. I don't want to. I don't like shooting behind them.
Right.
So I want to see them as people at home would want to see them. So I kind of walk backwards and do that thing. I said, okay, half a block's no problem. Well, half a block turned into three blocks. And we're crossing street, and I'm walking backwards, and I'm looking to see what I'm going to run into. And, of course, I'm at a wide-angle lens and shooting, and Huel continues the interview. Well, there's a point where if I crossed, I'm lost across that line. And the only way to recover is either stop him or continue going around doing a 360. And then I get behind him, and I see, oh, my God, there's a street coming up. There's a trash can up ahead, and I continue going around. And I'm back in my position again, shooting the interview. And so things like that we had to experience how we got through it. And I think I only fell down once.
Oh, that's good.
Only once.
In 12 years. All right. We're going to have to step aside, folks. Oops, excuse me, for just a moment. We'll be right back. And we're going to actually talk about your book now. I mean, we were talking about all sorts of stuff. Let's make sure we talk about the book. Louie, take a look at this, My Time with Huel Hauser. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. I'm Francois Rhodes. Thanks so much for joining us today as we have in studio with us Luis Fuerte, and he is was Huel Hauser's camera. He's retired now. He's just kicking back. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we had a call. I used to live in San Pedro, and Luis, you remember the show you did at Canetti's in San Pedro?
Yes, very well.
Yeah, all the fishermen went there, and right. Jack and I used to go eat at Canetti's on a regular basis. Well, they were all excited. Huel Hauser's coming in to film. You guys are there to film. Afterwards, we couldn't get in there for at least 2 months. It was crazy after the episode aired.
Huel would warn them that after the show airs, prepare yourself. And that would happen to a lot of these places that we would go film at, whether it be a store, a restaurant, Pink's, that fishermen's, they were so upset.
They were. Not so much the owner, but it was all the regular fishermen that went and hung out.
That was their private little hangout.
So
then when the crowds started coming in, it just really...
Did you eat at these restaurants? Did you have the clam chowder at Canetti's? They were famous
yes.
for clam chowder.
Oh, right, yes. Oh, we'd always eat at these places. And it was great. A lot of fun, but...
Lots of fun. Now, let's talk about the book here. Louie, take a look at this, My Time with Huell Hauser. What are people going to be reading about when they purchase? And you can purchase this book through Amazon. It is $22.95, and it's got pictures in it. I like the fact with the pictures, it looks like stories. So tell us, what are we going to be reading about with your book here?
Well, it's actually... how Huell and I came together and where I came from and where Huell came from and little quirky stories that how we came together in California Gold and quirky stories that happened behind the scenes that kind of I'm the only one that knew.
Uh-huh.
And I had to work with a writer because writing a book is not my specialty. But it was... a long process, and took us about 3 years.
Mm.
But there were times where it's such a slow process that I was wanting to give up on it. But it finally came out, and it was quite a challenge.
And you've had speaking engagements all over. Why did you and Huell part ways? You did 12 years. What...
Well, after 12 years working on the show, I was up in my 60s,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking of retiring, and one day we're coming back from a shoot, and I said, Huell, I think you should start thinking about finding another cameraman, because I'm thinking of retiring, and not only from the show, but from the station. And he was very quiet, and he says, well, how much time would you give me? And I said, well, how about 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And, 4 months go by, 5 months go by, and I see no new cameraman. And I said, Huell, where's your cameraman? And he says, well, he's making all these excuses and stuff like that. So he says, can you give me another 6 months? And he gave me a pay raise, so I guess... Money does talk,
yeah.
And I gave him 6 more months.
Yeah.
So that started happening again. 4 months go by, 5 months go by, and no cameraman. And finally I said, Huell, you have to find a cameraman.
Yeah.
And finally, 2004, I retired from the station.
All right. And then Huell got sick. Did you still talk to Huell a lot afterwards? Did you remain friends, or was it more of just a working relationship? And
it was a working relationship. I'd have to go to the station and do things, and I'd run into Huell, and we'd talk. And and then I was at a Christmas party with my wife one day, and she says, let's go visit the guys, Huell's office. And I said, great, yeah. So we did, and that's kind of when we found out that he was sick.
Oh.
So it was quite a surprise. And I asked one of the producers if I could set up a lunch so we could meet and talk. And the next call I get is from KCET that Huell had passed away.
Oh, my. It went that fast?
So I was just totally shocked.
Oh.
I was really shocked.
Jeez. Oh, wow. Well, I mean, you really had the best years, I think, with Huell in the show. You guys took the show to a level that, to this day, they're repeated constantly. What a great time in life for you to be doing this. How fun. After you retired, did you really retire, or did you still do camera work?
No,
are you a cameraman every now and then
still had that love for the camera and the doing that stuff. So I started, people found out I'd retired, so I got calls, received calls, and I was doing for a company out here in Palm Springs, so I was doing a lot of stuff out here. And I did it for about 8 more years, and then finally 2012, something hit me, and it says, you're done. And now I'm trying to go back to university, complete some studies. I do mentoring, I do lecturing, I talked to, of course, the book events have kept me busy. and just, you know, stay active.
Well, good for you. Yeah. Going back to school and all that. We're never my tagline for the show is it's never too late to get a life, and I always think that you should always start.
Never.
What's the number one question that people would ask you after they met you and talked to you a little bit about what you do? What's the number one question people would ask you about Huell Hauser?
That's a good one. They would ask me, did you guys get along? Did you guys, what was, you know, favorite places to go, things like that. Okay. And you know, that was,
yeah,
you know, that was it.
Out of all your shows, and that is a good question, out of all the shows that you did, which one was your favorite location?
Well, whoever got to go to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge, the tower up there.
The tower up there, were you scared?
It was, a lot of people asked me that, and at the point when I'm shooting, like we did with Window Washers, 71 floors up on a tower there, and I'm too busy trying to shoot the story, the lighting, sound, how it's going to cut, things like that. And, yeah, I do get scared of heights, and now I get flashbacks. I'll wake up in the middle of the night. I said, I'm up on a tower or something. But, yeah, we got to go to places that, you know, down in gold mines.
Yeah.
Those great places that we went to.
So much fun. And you'll read again, folks, a lot about it in the book here. Louie, take a look at this, My Time with Huell Hauser, California's Gold. You can get it on Amazon. There's a lot of good reviews here for this as well. Quite a challenge for you to write. Is this the only book you're going to write? Are you going to write another one?
No, that's it.
That is it.
I'm done.
And we are going to give, not today, though, next week I will give some autographed copies away. I will have one up on our website as well for everybody. It's been such a pleasure having you, Luis. I know you do book signings around California and whatnot, that you're been doing quite a bit of those, but it's really nice to have you back in the desert and to take the time to spend with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, you're always welcome to come back, you know, when you get...
I love Palm Springs.
The man behind the camera, that's it. And even now, it just I could see you look at the book with such pride in your eyes and such great memories that you have. And your wife came with you, a lovely lady, and she, I'm sure, has heard stories galore.
Oh, galore.
About your time with Huell Hauser. So, all right, folks. Next week, what are we doing on the show? I don't know. I'm so lost now. Here we go. What are we doing? Next week, we're going to talk about Borrego Days, about the festival coming up. And Barb was saying, one of our winners there, that she'll be out there at Borrego Days. We're also going to talk about Monsters in Laguna Beach. Before you know, Halloween, real quickly, did you guys, we only have a couple seconds, did you do any special Halloween and Christmas shows and stuff like that?
I did the Dia de los Muertos, not with Huell, but Dia de los Muertos in Mexico.
Ah, okay. All right.
I spent a few days there. That was
pretty that pretty was, crazy. All right. Luis, again, thank you for joining us. So
thank
appreciate
you.
It. All right, folks. Again, that's going to wrap it up for here. Thanks so much and I'll post some pictures of Luis and myself and the book and on the Facebook page, Traveling with Francoise. Make sure you go there. Make sure you go to the website. And don't forget Traveling with Francoise every Thursday at noon on Fox 11 and Friday morning at 5:30 a.m. on Fox 11 as well. And this week we're going to be talking, we're going to be showing you my trip to Tucson, Arizona, and why you ought to go there. So have a great week, and remember, as always, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.